It's a report that focuses in on South Sudan and the need to protect civilians and continue focus on protecting civilians at a time where we're seeing, you know, the highest levels of food insecurity since South Sudan's independence, and also leading into a year that's leading up to hoped for elections, which means likely higher political tensions, and also at a time where much of the world and the region's attention is elsewhere, you know, for lots of good reasons, you know, with Ethiopia and Sudan both experiencing a coup and bloody massacres and turmoil. But it's a reminder that South Sudan's still there and facing increasing challenges, particularly from a humanitarian and displacement point of view, where a third of the country remains, of the population remains displaced. And we're looking at the UN peacekeeping mission is set to have its mandate renewed, and it's a time to really emphasize the need for the resources and maintaining a focus on the need to protect civilians, particularly vulnerable, displaced people, even as there's increasing political tension and need for attention on implementing the peace agreement.
Dan, some people have expressed concern and have called on the UN Security Council to renew its mission, to bolster its mandate. Some people are saying UNMISS has not been effective. So do you think the call for its mandate to be strengthened is the right call?
Yes, I do. But it much more than just the mandate, because there's a lot of good things in the mandate calling on this to do a lot of different things, you know, two of the main things being to help implement the peace, and secondly, to protect civilians. I think the issue is matching those demands with the resources and the diplomatic backing that will allow UNMISS to do that. You know, so they need more, you know, you see, for example, in the United States, where even though the United States is the leading humanitarian donor to South Sudan, it hasn't had the same heft in terms of diplomatic engagement, at least not recently. There hasn't been a U.S. ambassador to South Sudan appointed in a year and a half, and a special envoy position hasn't been filled since last August. So there's a need to do more with what's in the mandate already, a need to not forget the people who have been displaced, and that protection of civilian side of things, even when there's more of a move towards engage the elites on implementing peace.
Talking about the U.S. involvement, the report called on the U.S. to do more, working with the U.N. Security Council or its mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, to do more in order to protect civilians and internally displaced people. What more do you think the U.S. government can do in this directive?
Yeah, I think it goes back to, again, the need for more robust diplomatic engagement, you know, working through the troika, right, of the U.S., the U.K. and Norway, that has traditionally played a leading role, engaging with the regional guarantors of the peace. You know, understandably, there are added challenges with the regional group of IGAD, where you have Sudan has experienced a coup and was a big part of pushing the South Sudanese agreement. So it's maintaining diplomatic attention and resources, as well as the humanitarian resources, where you know, the needs have gone up, but the international donations have not gone up in the same way.
There are also concerns that the attention of donors and diplomats appears to be waning in South Sudan. But some people are saying, well, you can't blame the donors, especially when the leaders are unwilling to ensure there's peace. They signed multiple peace agreements that appear not to have resolved the conflict in the country. What are your thoughts?
I think that's absolutely right, that it's, you know, the welfare and well-being of the people starts with the elites who are making these peace agreements, with sticking to those, and with attacking and tackling the corruption, high levels of corruption in the country. The trade-off, though, shouldn't be that there is no humanitarian aid. It's just doing that humanitarian and development aid in a smarter way that ensures that it's not being manipulated. I mean, one of the big dangers is that if you are bringing resources to a certain area, it, you know, there's been a lot of movements of populations and different ethnic groups having to flee an area and other ethnic groups coming in. So there's a real danger that any kind of new resources coming in can just will cement those the results of this, in some case, you know, this ethnic dislocation, and in some cases ethnic cleansing.